Vasudeva said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Supersoul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly." Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature were both awakened. In the beginning, Vasudeva thought, "Such a beautiful child has been born, but now Kamsa will come and kill him." But when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Regarding his son as the Supreme Lord, wonderful in everything, he began offering prayers appropriate for the Supreme Lord, completely free from fear of Kamsa's atrocities. He accepted the child simultaneously as an object of affection and as an object of worship by prayers. Sri Vasudeva Vacha Vidito Si Bhavan Sakshad Purusha Prakate Para Kivalanu Bhavananda Swarupa Sarva Buddhidrek. Vasudeva said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence. You are the Supersoul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly." Gyana Timuranasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Omnitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Badaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimati Shivaram Swami Itinamane. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. So thank you for allowing me to talk. When I came in this morning, our lovely devotee, Prayojana Prabhu, was doing his usual amazing service, cleaning up and clearing up after us all. And he said, "I wonder what today is going to bring." And I said, "Oh my God, yes, I'm doing class." He said, "Oh, you're doing class, are you?" So I said, and he said, when I spoke to Guru Maharaj, he said, "Oh, you just understand this. You never do class. That is super soul." So hopefully he hasn't forgotten me this morning. But just in case he has, I made some notes yesterday, and I thought maybe I'll just read them out to you about this. I hope it's not too long in the tooth. I'll try to break it up with a bit of rock and roll and some jokes in between. In chapter 4, of Krishna book, Durga Devi warns Kamsa that the eighth child of Vasudeva and Devaki will kill him, and that child has already been born. We all know that. Then Kamsa repents his actions, blaming or apportioning them to the will of providence. Here is the big difference between the materialist and the spiritualist. One of them sees it as providence, and the other actually sees it as the hand of the Lord. We can see by the jubilant nature of Vasudeva that he was free from lamentation. Advanced devotees don't worry about anything, as they see the hands of the Lord in everything. When I was a young man, many moons ago, there was a song on the radio, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And I was thinking, what's that mean, you know? I was starting to realize what that means. So I think it was one of the lovely Negro spirituals that came from America in the 50s. So in our devotional development, what should be our position on the difficulties and challenges that doubtless are going to harangue us from time to time? And the only sensible answer that I found is to become a conscious co-operator. Vasudeva and Devaki, highly elevated souls, were, you could say, very conscious cooperators, Krishna-conscious cooperators. You could say that Arjuna, prior to the Battle of Kurukshetra, played the part of an unconscious cooperator, so that we could, by his intense class taught by the Lord on the battlefield, become conscious cooperators, or Krishna-conscious. By the way, this phrase was coined by Srimati Devi Dasi, who's a very nice class giver and devotee. I often puzzled over the complicated arrangements that the Lord had created between two sets of parents. The thought that some or other, this divine child was taken from here and then another divine child was taken from there. They were swapped around. But as I was reading the purport, a small realization popped into my head that on seeing his child Vasudev, Maharaj was blessed with both knowledge of the child's supreme divinity as well as parental affection. This surety helped him to be fearless of the impending situation. So I was thinking, if Nanda and Yashoda had been imprisoned, the parents who were imprisoned and it was happening to them, they could have never survived the thought of their darling child being mercilessly slaughtered by Kamsa, as their parental mood was devoid of knowledge of Godhead, or Godhood, should I say. So Krishna perfectly spared them that unbearable situation. And for Vasudeva and Devaki, he armed them with the necessary knowledge and information to pass through the trouble unscathed. So even as a babe, Krishna then is the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. Hence, we are not the controllers, not the enjoyers. We're both controlled and enjoyed. Prakriti kriya manani gunai kamarani sarvasha anka vimudat makartamiti manyute. I should practice remembrance of this whenever we are under the kosh, so to speak. When challenging situations arrive at home or work or even play, we should try to remember and apply this idea or ideal until it becomes one with our identity. Of course, this is not an easy task, but as they say, practice makes perfect. With this God-given knowledge, Vasudev was able to overcome and to rise above his hellish predicament and see himself as most fortunate. Rather than praying to the Lord for his safety or release or revenge for the deaths of his slain children, he became praising the Lord in this finest poetry. I could just imagine if it was me, I'd be cursing him and say, you know, who do you think you are? We've been for all this. What's happening? You know, what's your sense of timing? Or something like that. But here they are just so beautifully conducting themselves. So we find that when sometimes that line is crossed in unfairness or injustice, we become someone else other than the pure devotee we would like to be. And I find myself not overly devoted at those times. Whereas the elevated soul sees himself and his identity as 100% servant of the Lord. And among other exalted qualities, he possesses fearlessness. I remember my first pilgrimage to India. I'd been untimely shaven up by Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, and he said something like, did your mother have problems having when you were born? I said, why? What are you doing? The shape of your head is like, you know, and he was giving me such a hard time, and I felt so embarrassed. And then I remember coming to the manor, and I had a hoodie over myself like that the day that we were leaving. So I was afraid about my haircut, not afraid about anything else. And then we got on the plane for, there's the longest plane trip I'd had. It was a 10-hour, you know, journey to Delhi. And I hate flying and I was scared of it. In my previous life, I came down in the plane in the war. And I said to Shiva Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I'm really nervous about flying. And he just turned around. I was thinking he's going to say something really like, take a few deep breaths, do some pranayama. And he went, what's your problem? Krishna will soon give you another body. wasn't the answer I wanted, you know. And then at one point, we'd really hit some hellish turbulence, as you can, you know, sometimes. And it was flying up and down, like, you know, just going up and down and across and sideways and going like this, and I'm just going like that. And I thought, I'm just going to look over and see what Shiva Ramaraj is doing, you know. And he's just got his books out, he's making notes and he's writing, he's, you know. And I thought, my God, he's fearless, he doesn't care about this. He's totally convinced. And I thought, I'm totally unconvinced that Krishna is holding the plane up, and he will for us, you know. So we can understand that a genuine devotee sees his real identity as servant of Krishna, whatever. When Srila Prabhupada was on the ship, the Atlantic, that hellish stuff, if you've ever been on a boat when it starts to do that stuff, my goodness. And then it starts to go from side to side, that's even worse. And so Prabhupada, the Atlantic can be vicious, and for some reason, and known best to the hand of the Lord, it was. And Prabhupada suffered his heart attacks. Again, if you can imagine me, I'd be saying, look, I'm coming here to do your work. What's going on here? You know. But Prabhupada just sat there and took it, and then the heart attacks came. But then the mercy after that came. And so under any circumstances, he didn't relate to his problems or his circumstances. He just related to the fact, I'm here on your service, at your service. Do what you want with me, which is such a wonderful position. If we could just think like that all the time, we would be so, well, of course, we'd be so amazing people. So, and we have all these identities that we're carrying around with. I'm carrying around a grandfather, a musician, a husband, all this stuff, but I'm not any of that. These are just these coverings that we've been told again and again and again and again. These are just coverings. And, you know, very, very soon those coverings will be taken off and we'll be something else. So we have to work on that idea of just detaching from this powerful influence that the body and the mind and the emotions have. And, of course, the process of chanting, associating devotees, etc., or the bona fide and sure way of getting that, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Sasach Chanting Nikachati, that we can quickly become peaceful and that and attain lasting peace and become righteous. Righteousness is it's not just, oh, you know, just like a fluffy bunny kind of niceness, but a dynamic experience that both you and those people around you experience, whether you speak or whether you don't. So what was, this detachment whilst engaging in works is a constant process, but it requires both faith and determination. It's not that easy. You know, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. This will set us up, if we do it, for ultimate success and full positive action in all we do. If we harbour the negative emotions connected with the variety of hurts done to us by others, then we get into the retribution mode. You know, we want to get our own back on that person. And it can carry on for years and years and years and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. And what you do, and if you do get your own back, and you get your own back in a way that gives you pleasure, you'll find there'll be another life where you'll be born and get the same. So it's the same old, same old. So there may be a short period of relief, but on comes the kosh again. So in Gita, Bhagavatam, Krishna is kindly revealing the method of escaping from the perpetual. It's a perpetual incarceration of this material world. Who will hear it if we refuse to hear it? Or should I say, if I refuse to hear it? We just are so expert in doing that, you know. All the billions of years we've been around, it seems inconceivable to us that we have. But such is the power of the material energy. It makes us feel like we're just, this is the first time. And even me at 69 years of age, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm still 18, I can still rock and roll. And we have no idea, of how important it is to perceive and to act upon the message of Godhead. There was a poem by Suradas, who was a famous Middle Ages poet. He was blind, and he was an amazing person. And I remember before I met the devotees, so I was reading this, and I thought, wow, this is so good. And because I'm a kind of a sort of musician, well, I'm a drummer, so this doesn't really qualify as a musician. There's so many jokes going around about drummers not being musicians. And everybody nags at you in the rest of the group. I've got a T-shirt that says, so... how far, what tempo do you want this next one? Too fast or too slow? Everybody gets on the case of drummers and stuff like that. But I do play a little bit of guitar and piano, enough to write some chords, to write some songs. And I wrote this song. I'm just going to sing it for you now about this particular predicament we're in called Stuck in the Middle with You. So it goes something like, through past acts of merit and of worth, you were granted this human birth, and in day to day, and from day to day in age you gain, but each moment life does wane. When death comes, nothing will stay. This precious chance might slip away. When once the leaf is broken free, it cannot then rejoin the tree. Then it goes, this world's ocean does roar and rage, vast and deep, so hard to gauge. Board the ship of the Lord and cross the sea. Reach the shore of bliss and be free. This vast world and its... this vast world and its fourfold frame is nothing but a shine. Oh no, saints and sages have tried to remind that life is but a brief sunshine. And once the leaf is broken free, it cannot then rejoin the tree. Then the last verse goes, deftly play the pawn of your soul. Win the match, attain the goal. Deceitfully we load our dice. With human births, we pay the price. Saints and sages have tried to remind that life is but a brief sunshine. And once the leaf is broken free, it cannot then rejoin the tree. So those whose yoga is opposed to bhakti, they won't get what they're thinking they're going to get. They'll get what they think is absolute, but it won't be absolute. They won't get Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan is absolute, way, way above the Brahmajyoti. Brahmajyoti is just outside this universe. And trillions and billions and zillions of miles beyond that is Goloka Vrindavan. They haven't, and actually neither do they wish to. They don't know it's there, they don't care it's there, they challenge that it's there. In the oldest Shastra, the Brahma Samhita, discovered in the Middle Ages by none other than Mahaprabhu himself, Brahma Samhita states, Pantastu koti sadavatsara sambragamyo vayor atapi manaso muni pungavanam so pyasti yat prabhatasimya vatyantya tatve govindamadi purusham tombahambhajami. Brahma says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tips of the toes of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayam by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination, not this, not that, not this, which extends over thousands of millions of years, not thousands and millions of years, thousands of millions of years. So they're doing this stuff, and they only come not actually to the lotus feet of the Lord, but they come to the light that emanates from that, which is a long way from the Lord in the Brahmajyoti. So, looking at it from this Brahman, this divine light that they adore, Prabhupada explains that it's a place that we go to when we have this attitude towards God. So every part of us, every feature, srotram chakshu, spasanam charas, every attitude, every way that we are conceived, the way that we look, the way that we act, is all based on attitude. We get this face, we get this attitude, we get this... I mean, I'm extremely good looking, so I must have been really good. But these attitudes cast us into different species of life at different times. This envy takes us somewhere, love takes us another way, supreme love takes us somewhere else. And so the Brahmavadis are not as pernicious as the Mayavadis. Maybe more innocent in the sense that they merge into this. Maybe they've been taught by the local village guru who doesn't really know so much, but he's a sincere soul. So they go there. But after a while, they will get bored. They'll get bored because there's no loving exchange there, and the soul actually demands it. It demands it, but you know, it takes some time to come to that realization. An interesting thing, years ago, before I was a devotee, I was looking for God, so to speak. And I went to the, what was it called? The Empire Leicester Square to see Ronald Beasley give a demonstration of aura reading. And he was astonishing. He stood on stage. He was a silver-suited, silver-haired, you know, octogenarian or something like that. And he looked at the audience and said, okay, who wants their aura read? So someone said like that. And he went, oh, you're a... It's a double vibration there, so you're a twin. And the guy was, I could see, he was sitting near me, he went, wow. And he said, and this happened, that happened, this, da, da, da. And the guy, and he did it to, it was like a, absolutely amazing. So I signed up for his course to go and meet him and sort of learn about all this stuff, because I've always been interested in that kind of esoteric sort of stuff. And he was absolutely like incredible stuff, beautiful writing and that. But he was obviously, I didn't know at that time, he was a Mayavadi or a Brahmavadi. So I signed up to go to his program. And when I got there, I found out that he was dead. He died in India in a road crash. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshmana Nama Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaurani Taya Ki Jai. So he died in a road crash in India. He went over one of those massive bumps that they have in the road, and up he went and smashed his head there. Anyway, there were the end of the program, the weekend that we spent there, we've been doing fasting and different things like this, and I saw him in my meditation. Anyway, that's one thing, and he told me a few interesting things. But I had no doubt that he was a very elevated person, and so he'd gone to. It definitely would have achieved Brahman. He had the whole business going on for him. So 30 years later, I see my friend who went on the same program, and he said Cicely, the lady who used to run it with him, she's really in her 90s now, and also extremely psychic, evolved kind of person. She said, Mr. Beasley is coming back. And I said, well, he's coming back to the earth? But isn't he on the highest level of samadhi of some sort? She said, no, he's bored there. He's coming back. And I remember what Prabhupada said, you know, about the fact that after some time, these people come back. And there I've had it, because Krishna knows what a doubting Thomas I am. So he has to give me a direct, a connection with these things. Otherwise, And all through my life, it's been like that. Because I'm such a doubting Thomas, Krishna does these amazing things. I never used to believe that the soul could go down into a lower species of life. I just thought, the soul is always onwards and upwards. Come on, guys. Every birth, you're just getting better until we go into that white light or emerge into whatever it is that we're, you know, hoping to merge into. And I did this stuff, you know, I had a shop and I used to take people back to previous lives and release stuff from their previous life to help them in this. And I had a very successful practice in that sense. And then this lady came in and wanted to stop smoking. So I stopped her from smoking and she'd booked for 3 programs. Then on the second week she came, she said, I've stopped smoking, I have no desire to smoke at all. I said, oh, great. She said, oh, I booked for 2 more programs, so can I do something else? And I said, well, maybe you could do a past life. So she said, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that, because what I used to do is take them back and then take them to an animal birth and then sell them a higher taste and stuff like that. You know, that's kind of how we got our Namahat started, which was quite successful for 20 years. Anyway, that's how it went. That's what I used to do at that time. And this lady, I said, just go back to one of, and she was a deep trance subject, so she's really good to work with. So she went back and she said, I'm a black horse. I said, oh, excellent, excellent. So she was talking and telling me about how the horse lived, et cetera, et cetera. Then I thought, oh, hang on a second. She's a horse. So now I'm going to take her back to the life before and show her that she was a lower animal and prove to myself that it's just coming, you go lower animal, higher animal, et cetera, until you get a human form. So I took her back to the life before she was, excuse me for this, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita class, in the life before she was a human being. And I thought, that doesn't work, that's not right, that can't be like that. So I said to her, tell me about your life as this human being. She said, and she's speaking in a West Country accent. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. They speak like that down there. So anyone from the West Country, please forgive me for that. She said, I was living in the West Country, and then I heard about the town, and now the streets in London are paved with gold. And everyone was leaving the farms at that time in the Industrial Revolution to come to the towns and where the factories and all the other hellish things were being created, Kali Yuga edifices. So she ended up as an upstairs, downstairs maid, you know, on one of those townhouses where you've got about four floors, and the cellar is where the kitchen is cooking, and then she has to walk right the way to the top and up and down and up and down. So at 80 years of age, she died. So I'm thinking, what's going to happen to her? So time of death, I said, what are you thinking? And she said, I'm thinking about the countryside. Now, you know, Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaram bhavanti acha chanti kalevaram tam tam avaiti kontaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. That whatever state of being you remember at time of death, that's your next birth. So I said, specifically as you're leaving your body now, what are you thinking? He said, I'm thinking of them lovely black horses. Oh, no. Well, Krishna said, it's true. I thought it was 5,000 years ago. It's a bit old-fashioned now, this stuff. And we're in the new age, aren't we? You know, and this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Make it up as you go along, whatever gets you through the night. Woofie! Free love and abortion. Anyway, so I was, oh my goodness, this is a fact. So I realized that, you know, this, it's so important for us to be careful. What's happened? Oh, I love that. No, it's come back and I'll see it again. It's excellent. Sorry about that. Oh, I'm going to get a retribution for that. See, youngsters, they don't think it's going to happen to them. Only old people think so. When I get up, as a stretch, and I hear the sound of the knees going. I stand there for a little while, trying not to, especially not the girls were looking, you know. And I just stand there pretending I'm talking to someone or chanting some rounds until that goes off. For these youngsters, you know. Sorry about that. Okay. So, what was I saying? Yeah. So, yeah, this Brahman, this divine light that they are adoring, it's not even a third of the way, well, it's a third of the way towards the Lord. And to full emancipation is different than a half or a quarter emancipation. If you nearly win something, you haven't won, have you? You know, they say close but no cigar. So beyond the Paramatma, of course, is the realization of Paramatma, beyond Brahman, sorry. And even the yogis who are being naughty, they're thinking, oh, this is me, Paramatma's me, and they still continue the illusion. But beyond Paramatma, again, is Bhagavan, which they're also seeing as Paramatma is the same as that. But Ramadi Murti Shukalani Aminatista Danavatara Makaro Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramal Bhumanyu Govinda Maripurisham Tamaham Bhajami. So Krishna, he advents himself as Krishna and the different avatars of the world, Ram, Narsingha, Vamana, Deva, etc. They're just his subjective portions. He's the top of the tree, king of the crop. He's the one, and this is confirmed by the oldest scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. In the sense of our knowable history, and the unknowable history of the Brahma Samhita, which is discovered by none other than, you know, it's like when you've got a painting, it needs provenance. You can paint as good as Van Gogh, even maybe some people can, but when you take it to Sotheby's, they're going to say, where did you get it from? And they'll check it out. They have to know the providence, where it comes from. So we have the highest providence in Mahaprabhu. So if you don't accept Mahaprabhu, then look at 20 scriptures, 20 different Vedic scriptures, which saying the one supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all the mystic power, takes his birth in Navadvip, son of Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, etc. All these incredible statements in all these amazing scriptures. So both his providence and the providence of his providence are there. So Brahma Samhita says some wonderful things, you know, and he's definitely got the whole world in his hands. And what a way that he has it. He does it in such a way that he very kindly and very gently allows us to come to the realization, one birth or another, that, you know, that he is our Lord and he's our friend, he's our protector. Vasudev is in that prison and he's seeing this incredible process, taking the birth of this child, and he's all got these beautiful clothes on, he's got these beautiful ornaments on, and he's feeling, he's not only looking beautiful to look at, but in his heart he's impregnated with knowledge of who he is and what he is. It becomes fearless. And so we're having these wonderful experiences. I'm not saying this is one today, but we're having these wonderful experiences. I've been coming to the program here for the last month or so, and I've just had such ecstatic experiences listening to the classes and seeing the devotees dressed every day. As I was coming across the fields this morning, there was a whole frost across the green fields. It was like, and then I looked, and there I could see this beautiful frost covering our lordships there this morning. I thought, oh my, how beautiful that is! These lovely dresses and ornaments around them, and we are. I mean, how lucky are we? And then we have prasadam. I can't believe it. You know, it's like you come in and you have porridge, or you can have this, or you can have that. It's just like, come on, you know, guys, we would be really ungrateful if we didn't, stop being the controller and just realize that we're controlled.